From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It is Friday, March 28th. I'm Abby Larico. A library board in the Metro East that was once seen as an innocuous governing body has become a political flashpoint.
Some people coming to the board meetings accuse me of being bigoted, yet their tone of voice and their accusations belie their motives.
St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer gets the story from the board candidates ahead of an election next week. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis County Council members overrode County Executive Sam Page's objections to bills paying for and promoting a plan that would allow the council to fire department directors. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
The council overrode County Executive Sam Page's veto of $520,000 worth of St. Louis Rams settlement money to pay for the election. They also overturned his veto restricting county employees from participating in meetings discussing ballot initiatives. Proposition B supporters contend the measure will increase accountability among the county executive staff. Page and other detractors say it's a power grab that will make people squeamish about serving in county government. Voters will decide Proposition B's fate on April 8th, but some county department directors filed a lawsuit to prevent the measure from going into effect. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Former St. Louis County Police Officer Matthew McCullough has been sentenced to a minimum of 5 years probation for firing gunshots at a kid's trunk-or-treat event. McCullough's attorneys say he was having a manic episode that night in Kirkwood in October of 2023 and has since been on medication and in therapy for bipolar disorder. During the sentencing hearing, families shared emotional impact statements, pleading with the judge to put McCullough behind bars. His father, former St. Louis County prosecutor Bob McCullough, was also in the courtroom. Bobby Shaw was with his family during the shooting, and he says he'll never forget how helpless he felt.
You know, I feel like the judge was, I felt that she heard us. I felt that she understood our needs. And, you know, I felt that she was trying to do what she thought was best. But I can't help but still hope that there could have been a different outcome.
McCullough had opted to make a blind plea in early January and declined the prosecution's recommended 3-year prison term, giving the court power to sentence him to up to 7 years. During the hearing, McCullough addressed the victims and apologized for his actions, saying he'll have to live with it for the rest of his life. Conditions of his probation include maintaining therapy and staying out of Kirkwood. The Missouri House passed a bill Thursday that would penalize police for enforcing federal gun laws. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports it's similar to legislation that passed in 2021 but was thrown out by a federal court.
The Second Amendment Preservation Act, or SAPA, would impose significant fines on police departments that enforce federal gun laws. Departments would be fined $50,000 per infraction. Representative Carrie Engel, a Lee Summit Democrat, says it will make it far more difficult for Missouri police to do their jobs, such as in cases where investigations cross state lines.
This ties their hands, and it makes it to where they cannot cooperate with federal law enforcement.
The challenge to the first version of the law was brought in court by the Department of Justice under the Biden administration. It's unclear what will happen if the state attempts to reenact a law that was already overturned by the courts. The bill will now go to the Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Catholic school in South St. Louis County has announced its closing after this school year. The Archdiocese of St. Louis says that enrollment at St. Simon's School has dropped to 70 students for the upcoming school year. The K-8 school had one grade with only 3 students enrolled, another with just 1 student. Archbishop Mitchell Rosansky said in a statement that Catholic leaders had explored options to reduce costs, but that none would continue to provide a quality education while keeping parish finances strong. St. Simon had been open for 65 years. A major labor union is furious with Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker over his veto of a bill enhancing protections for warehouse workers. Alex Degman reports.
The Warehouse Worker Protection Act would have required employers to give employees written descriptions of any quotas they have to hit, including how many tasks are required and within what time frame, and it would have banned quotas that encroach on meal or restroom breaks. But Pritzker vetoed the measure late last week, saying it's not clear who's covered by the law, whether there's due process in enforcing it, and that it doesn't set out how penalties and damages would work. Teamsters Joint Council 25 fired back, calling Pritzker a billionaire governor who, quote, abandoned people working under dangerous production quotas. They said the governor's veto was reckless and suggested Illinois needs better leadership. I'm Alex Degman.
$153 million in federal funding for Illinois health programs was canceled this week by the Trump administration. The previously approved grants were aimed at mental health, substance abuse, and infectious disease prevention. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Samir Vohra says those funds would help prepare the state for public health emergencies.
But there's only so much that one state can do when you have these funding cuts that come from the federal level, cuts that hurt the states and then hurt our ability as the state to provide this money to our local communities.
The IDPH says the Trump administration is also blocking $324 million in funding for future infectious disease work. The online pharmacy RX Outreach and the Deaconess Foundation are collaborating to fill prescriptions for low-income seniors in the St. Louis metro area. As STLPR's Andrea Henderson reports, the free program aims to help those struggling to afford critical medications.
The Fill the Gap Prescription Assistance Program is a one-year pilot that offers free medication to people between the ages of 55 and 65 at or below the poverty level. Those eligible can get prescriptions for diabetes or cardiovascular disease. They also can get medications for asthma or allergy-related illnesses. Bethany Johnson-Javot is CEO of the Deaconess Foundation. She says many seniors go without life-saving medications because they can't afford them.
It's important that it's available for free, because that economic stressor makes people choose between the meal on the table, between the lights being on, and your health.
Johnson Javot hopes the program expands to help people older than 65. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
There's no dampening the spirits of Cardinals fans on opening day at Busch Stadium, no matter how hard the skies above baseball heaven may try. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin takes us through the rainy day of a home opener, from the pregame festivities at Ballpark Village to the celebration of a 5-3 win against the Twins to start the season.
Go, go, go. It's opening day. Here comes Sonny Gray.
We're actually seeing if we can get last-minute tickets. This is like our 14th year coming down here. Usually we just kind of travel between the bars, circle around, and just have fun.
Cardinal baseball was the only thing we could get on the radio at night in Oklahoma, so I grew up being a Cardinals fan. First opening day.
It's really cool, other than the rain. I'm really excited for the Clydesdales.
We're in section 348, kind of right behind home plate. Up high, but able to see the arch. It's wet, but pleasant.
The Cardinals are going to be amazing. I think they're going to do great, and they're going to win this game. I'm going to cheer them on as best as I can.
Been a Cardinal fan for 85 years. Just love it and hope the weather clears up and they don't postpone it. We just didn't want to get wet, but... We're excited about watching the game.
This year is the 40th anniversary of that great 1985 team. Welcome back, the rookie of the year from that season, Vince Coleman.
Conditions at game time were 53 degrees and optimistic, as Cardinals fans hope to see their team start to climb back into the playoff picture this year. Today's starting pitcher, Sonny Gray, could have a lot to do with whether the Redbirds break from their recent history or don't. The fans in the seats here immediately behind home plate give him the thumbs up.
Swing and a shot to right field. There's your first Cardinal hit. Harris Newbar with a bullet to right.
I felt very confident and strong going out to start the game. It was a weird day. Obviously, it's opening day, so there's always extra excitement, adrenaline, and everything with that. But then to get the delay, that was different, weird. You got to be able to adapt. It's going to take all 26 of us to win games. If you look at like who are the St. Louis Cardinals, I feel like that game is kind of can embody who we are and who we want to be.
You heard from Julie Cush, Mark Petty, Isaac Beaton, Ron Beaton, Lloyd Dobbs, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Sonny Gray, and St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin, who produced that piece. The series against the Twins continues at Busch Stadium with 115 games tomorrow and Sunday, and it was a good day to be a St. Louis sports fan Thursday, with the Blues winning their eighth game in a row. The Library Board in Collinsville and Fairmont City in the Metro East has three of its seven seats up for election next Tuesday. What was once seen as a benign governing body has drawn the attention of many in the community. To better understand why the board has become a political flashpoint, St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer sat down with each candidate.
The Mississippi Valley Library District Board is made up of seven seats. It's officially nonpartisan, but in recent elections, it's been divided into two ideological groups, one more conservative and one more liberal. Next Tuesday, three of those seats are up for grabs. The first is a two-year term. Kathy Murphy is the only incumbent. She's a preschool teacher and part of the conservative wing.
I feel some people coming to the board meetings, you know, accuse me of being bigoted and intolerant and things, but yet their tone of voice and their accusations belie their motives, you know.
During the last election 2 years ago, Murphy and the other conservatives won the majority of seats. Some of the candidates say they were motivated to run after the Collinsville Library hosted a virtual drag queen story hour. Ever since, many of the board meetings have been intense. There's been lots of criticism from both sides over what kind of books should be on the shelves, needed maintenance, and fiscal responsibility. Murphy and the rest of the conservative wing say the board's finances are in a better place under their tenure. They didn't raise taxes this past year, and they put money in interest-bearing accounts. But the more liberal candidates think incremental increases may be necessary. Running against Murphy is Shannon Lotno Boyle for the two-year term. She's a relationship therapist and part of the more liberal group of candidates.
I want to make sure that more taxpayers know they can use the library and they're helping them get there. But, you know, I'm not myself looking to make some kind of big political shift. I think the shift should be back towards community and systems work and not sort of put into an ideological pocket.
The remaining four seats are for six-year terms. Two are more liberal candidates, Ben Wells and Ian Ashcraft. Wells is an Amazon associate. He says the board should be more proactive on replacing old infrastructure, and he'd like the board to set aside funds for repairs.
Trying to find ways to solve our maintenance issues, be prepared for issues that would come about, or finding ways to properly finance those capital projects in the future is definitely a focus of mine.
The fourth candidate, Ashcraft, is a grant administrator. One of his concerns is censorship.
I'm not here to control what other people want to check out from the library. The library is for everyone. And I want the residents and other people who are in the district to be able to have their parental rights and freedom to say, no, you can't check that out. I'm not their parent.
Illinois law prohibits banning books, and so far there hasn't been any locally. But there's been conversations about what books belong on the library shelves. The fifth candidate is photographer and substitute teacher Kelly Polacco Reeder. She too does not believe in banning books.
I believe that books give us insight into other people's minds, and that's the best way to form empathy. And the more empathy that we have out there, the less arguing and bickering, and we treat others the way we want to be treated, and we see that other people are just going through their own battles every day. And when you stop and think of it that way, it's much harder to attack somebody.
The last candidate is Kenneth Norsworthy. He just wants to make sure that books are placed in the age-appropriate sections. He believes his experience working in maintenance would be beneficial to the board. For Norsworthy, raising taxes should be a last resort.
Everybody hates taxes. If it means not being able to survive, I'd look closely at the tax levy. But there's a lot of ways to save money and be able to run on the, like we're running at this point, without having to raise taxes.
The winners of Tuesday's election could steer the direction of the board that's been under conservative majority. While the issues may be the same, the players may not be. In Collinsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have an amazing weekend.